Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here for the Jug Life Podcast. Today's guest is Martin Leitzis, the 2019 World's Strongest Man. This is a particularly fun one to record because Martin and I used to be training partners sometimes when I was competing in strongman and he was kind of just beginning to train hard. So it's crazy to think that not that many years ago I was kicking his ass at strongman and now he's the World's Strongest Man. So we talk with Martins about his training, his journey to World's Strongest Man. Gives some advice for all training all the other big events. So great to catch up with Martins. Hopefully you enjoy this episode. Visit jtsstrength.com for all of our online coaching services, from Juggernaut AI powerlifting and powerbuilding coaching to weightlifting, super total, and strongman. You can also get all the new Juggernaut apparel there. And subscribe to the podcast, like this video, share this video, tell your friends to listen to it. You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and at jtsstrength.com. Enjoy the episode.
Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
All right, Martins.
What's up, Chad? It's good to be here. Familiar face from a lot, like we used to train together back in the garage.
Yeah, that was
garage days.
Yeah, so we're up here, Mamba Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks, just around the corner from Training Hall, when we just came out of breakfast, and this big sweaty chalk covered bear comes out of there. So how was training this morning?
Well, I was offended that you were over there relaxing, eating food while I'm getting my sweat on. Gosh, man. Because they didn't even come by to say hi.
Well, I figured I was like, if you were in there, I was going to see you in 10 minutes anyway.
That's very true. I was just being sensitive.
So, yeah, we used to train together in Ode's Garage. That would have been like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
So I remember...
He was kicking my butt at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the tables have really turned in terms of... Who is the stronger man now?
Well, except for I still got to catch up with the little squat numbers.
Yeah, but that's
real.
Yeah, you have all the other numbers though. So, when did you first start training strongman and meet Ode?
Shoot, that is such a really seriously. I started training strongman when I met Ode, around 20 years old. Before that, I started training when I was 9 years old. My dad pulled me into the gym. I totally freaking hated it, and he would just we did very light work, and I would visit my grandfather in Latvia, and he had a farm there where he was also a stone sculptor, and he'd move these big rocks around on the farm, and I would help him around with the farm work and moving these rocks for him to do sculptures with. And then I saw on TV these guys doing these competitions doing basically heavy farm work. I thought, shoot, I could do that. So I just set out on a life mission to become the World's Strongest Man.
And now...
It actually happened. Yeah. I was like, wow, all right. That was for real.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome thing. So you're 26 now?
28. About to turn 29 tomorrow.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, it's been six or 7 years since we first met. And I remember you coming to train, and you were probably weighing like 250.
I think between 238, 250. 238 was my lightest in that period of time. So that was, about my weight.
And, so after I stopped competing in strongman about 2013, I kind of got out of touch with the sport and that I wasn't really following along all these contests. And so a year or so later, I was like, oh, Martin's a pro now. And then I was like, oh, Martin's like one of the best strongmen in the whole world now. Like, this is a guy from the training in the driveway. And
that doofus that dropped the shield on his toe.
Yeah. So
that's another story.
So one of the days when we were training, Ode had this 400-pound shield from one of the IFSA shows, probably, and everyone's having, there'd be six, eight guys there training on a Sunday morning, and I'd drive up, every other week, once a month or something, and so we're...
This is before we had the training hall.
Yes.
In the garage.
So we're fucking around with this 400-pound shield. It's that thick and... Yeah, a couple feet tall. And
it's all top heavy, so it's really hard to balance as you're picking it.
Yeah, so neither Martins or I could get a good feel for it. And Martin finally, he laps it, and
Yeah, goes to hook his arms under, and it kind of slips, and right on his toe.
Hey. I actually stood up, walked a few feet, and then it slipped and fell on my toe. Yeah. I was like, yes, look at me, yes! Oh, then I drop it, and boom.
Yeah.
Gosh, four all that pounds, joy went away.
Smashing his tail. And not, you know, maybe 30 seconds after, like, this happens, and we're kind of like, oh, shit, you know, is he all right? Is his tail all right? I pick it up, and the exact same thing happens to me. It took down two big toes in the span of a minute.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, right after that, just imagine this scene. Both of us are on the ground with ice on our toes, feet just elevated in the air,
shoes whimpering.
I was just so competitive. I wanted to get that shield before him.
So worth it. When did you turn pro?
I became a pro 2015. When I won the Old Haugen Strength Classic.
At LA Fit Expo.
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I kind of observe your strongman career, as I was telling Marissa this when we're driving over, it seems like something that you did, you know, really well, because she had commented, she's like, how did he beat Thor? He's so much smaller than him. And I was like, well, Martin's like very athletic.
How dare you. Yeah, how dare you question.
That you're very athletic and flexible and mobile. And yeah, I would think that a big part of that was you started training when you're 235, 240. And
I always compete against heavyweights. That's the other thing. I refused to compete as a middleweight.
Yeah. And rather than seeing these people who were 350 or 400 or 450 in some of these guys' cases and thinking, like, man, I right now need to gain as much weight as possible, it seemed like it was much like kind of every year you were putting on 10, 15 pounds, like much more gradually, and were able to retain a lot of your athleticism.
Very much so. I always had the goal that every time I gained weight, I would have to be able to perform a pistol squat at the new weight I was at, and I had to perform a muscle up at the new weight I was at, and I had to be able to perform 5 sets of 10 pull-ups at whatever weight I was at.
And what's the heaviest you've been so far?
The heaviest I've been at was 355. That is yet a weight that I can do a muscle up at. Got really close, and I'm still fighting to get it.
Yeah.
So before I push beyond that weight, I need to be able to get that muscle up.
Those 350-pound muscle-ups, that's going to make for a good video.
I wonder, is that a world record? Has anyone done that?
It's got to be.
Oh, I got to get it. That's absolutely my mission.
I remember seeing an old video. This must have been, you know, 1992 or something, right around when Mark Henry had gone to the Olympics, his first Olympics for weightlifting, and they were saying that he was, like, the heaviest guy to ever slam dunk a basketball. He weighed about 200 kilos. Yeah. And
what?
Yeah, he's
I just about want to retire right now.
He's however tall he is, 6'3", 200 kilos, and
legend.
Just went up and two-hand dunked a basketball. I mean, you must have had quite a bit of interaction with him with Simon.
Oh, absolutely. I love that guy. He's always such a good, bright energy. And I mean, I loved watching him dominate the Arnold back in the day as well.
Has he been trying to pull you into professional wrestling?
Not him specifically, but I've heard from multiple people that it could potentially be a good way to go.
Yeah, like Braun Strowman.
I'm not even that well aware of what's going on in that world.
Well, that's what's his name? Adam. What's Adam's last name? Adam Scheer.
Okay.
I think he won North American Nationals the year before I did, but it was like as soon as he won, he was straight off to the WWE. Damn.
Just like that.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Think about all the Atlas stones he could have lifted in this time.
So you just got back from Arnold Europe.
Yes.
How did that go?
I ended up not competing. I opted out and I was a referee instead. I had a pinched nerve in my neck, which is shutting down my tricep and lat. Currently about like 50% strength in my tricep and lat.
You want to arm wrestle?
Left. Shoot, arm wrestling is a freaky sport, though. I try to stay away from that. But either way, once I get the inflammation down, it should come back. I've had this 2 years ago. This same thing happened, and after a couple months, I got my strength back. Just need to pedal off the gas for now.
Yeah.
Or foot off the pedal. Don't worry about it.
What's a typical week of training look like for you as you're preparing for competition?
When I'm preparing for competition, it is truly just events focused. I really pull back from accessories, and every day I pick like one or two events and just practice them competition style. unless there's a deficiency. Let's say I'm, like in my early days getting ready for competition, I had a lot of deficiencies. Like pressing was really hard for me. So I would actually be doing, I had more frequency in my pressing and a lot of different variants of pressing just to try to be able to catch up and do at least one repetition of whatever was asked for me in a competition. But now that that's finally caught up, it's just practicing the events. But far away from a competition, let's say it's a few months out, it's a lot more higher volume work just to get my work capacity up and a lot more accessories.
And so when you're talking about accessories and stuff, are you talking about like regular gym training, non-event training?
For sure, yeah. So like squats, deadlifts, I sometimes throw in bench press when the stars align. But yeah, for sure. Then of course a lot more single leg work, unilateral work with my with pressing and all a lot of bodybuilding motions as well, just to help balance everything out.
And you've deadlifted over 900 pounds now, yeah?
970 is my best.
970, and that
so matches your squat.
Yeah, well, the deadlift's more impressive there. The how much? I mean, when I knew you, you were maybe deadlifting low 700s.
I'd say between 650 and 700.
Yeah. When we first met. So you've put over 250 pounds on your deadlift in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. You want to tell everyone how to put 250 pounds on the deadlift?
Well, a lot of it was, of course, just gaining weight. Because once I got my pro card, once I got my World's Strongest Man invite, I remember competing in Giant Slab, Iceland. That was my first international show. It was a World's Strongest Man qualifier, top three, got invited to World's Strongest Man. I was competing against Hafthor, Mark Felix, and a bunch of other pro strongmen that have been in the game for a while. And I remember when it came down to the static events, I was close to last. Like, my weight and my strength just couldn't compare.
And about how heavy were you at this time?
I was about 270, 275. And but when it came down to the events that needed the technique or endurance or speed, actually won. I won the truck pull in Iceland. It was a fairly light truck pull, so I really got my feet moving. I won the stone lifts, and I placed really high on a max distance carry, which actually in the contest placed me in third place overall, and I got my invite to Worlds. That's when a light bulb went on. I'm like, okay, I cannot be the light guy in these shows anymore. I really need to put on that weight. So then I started eating like an animal and added on that weight and just kept training like I always do with a lot of focus on technique. But then being a little bit forgiving when the technique gave out because I knew I needed to get the weights up. Because before that, I was meticulous. Everything, I really wanted to be picture perfect so I wouldn't get injured. When I got the invite to Worlds, it was just reckless abandon. Let's get those weights up.
So how heavy were you at that first World's Strongest Man?
About 305-ish pounds for my first World's Strongest Man.
So you put on 35 pounds between qualifying for World's Strongest Man and actually competing.
Yeah.
So do you have any epic eating tales from that? Like, do you have like a calorie number?
You see, I wasn't. I've always been very good with my programming and lifting. When it came to nutrition, I was pretty clueless. The only thing I really focused on was getting 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight I had, and then making sure I had 7,000 calories with me in the day before I went to sleep. And if I didn't, I had to make up for it at night with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches until I reached 7,000 calories. So then the next day, after just eating those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, after like, you know, when it was like 10:30 at night, feeling miserable and disgusting, the next day I had that much more incentive to get my meals in earlier.
What was the biggest stack of PB&Js you had to finish at the end of the day?
Probably like 6. Which doesn't sound a lot, but that peanut butter and jelly, man, it's sticky, nasty stuff. It does not go down easy.
Yeah. So, you know, I think your path to strongman success is such like a great model for people, you know, getting into strongman or wanting to compete to kind of follow along with this idea of not being overly concerned with how much weight you're gaining, you know, having this a good... Like that you were focused much more on the events or a good balance between event strength, like special strength for the events and general strength in the weight room, and you know, precise technique and everything. So now at the training hall, I'd imagine you get to work with people who are just getting introduced to the sport of strongman.
Yeah,
now.
For sure.
And that's got to be an amazing experience for them. They're getting coached by the world's strongest man.
It is amazing. It's so cool to see this. And for me, I love seeing the sport spreading. Love seeing people getting more and more interested in what we're doing. And now for us to have a space, a gym, to make it more available for people to pick up and do these movements safely in a place where, they have coaches and people that understand the motions and can teach them these motions in a way that's safe. So that to me is exciting.
So you mentioned there that in the growth of the sport, it seems like the last 2-3 years that strongman and the strongman competitors have become so much more well-known, whether it's, through YouTube or Netflix and Instagram. What do you think is attributed to that? Where do you see it going?
I think the biggest key factors are, it's really, I'm not quite sure, but my guess is, really thanks to Hofdor and also Eddie Hall. Because Eddie Hall's world record deadlift of 1,100-pound deadlift, that was viral. Now, everybody that aspires to get a good deadlift knows about that lift, therefore knows a strongman. And now also with Hofdor and Game of Thrones and people watching this giant, massive man creature destroying people in Game of Thrones, they're all blown away by it. So they, of course, look him up. And now more and more people know about strongman because of his presence in the movie industry. So between those two guys, we owe it a lot to them. And also, of course, a lot of strongmen hate to admit this, but CrossFit.
Yeah.
Thanks to CrossFit. Introducing more strongman events and also having the principle of trying to be good at everything, just like strongmen, but we're on the heavier strength side of things, they're more on the endurance side of things. By the way, CrossFit's so similar to strongman, anyone entering the CrossFit world eventually learns about strongman as well.
So with those kind of TV shows and Netflix movies and documentaries and the guys on the History Channel.
Well, then there's that too.
Yeah. Are there opportunities coming up for you in any of those regards, you think?
We'll see. I believe so. Just this last year in December, we started a YouTube channel, and that's been growing very, at a very pleasing rate. Now working with Romark now, we recently did the Jerry O show, Jerry O'Connell show. He had a little segment where he took charge of the Wendy. He took Wendy's little time slot there for a while because she was out due to medical reasons.
Wendy Williams.
Yes. Right. So I went on his show.
I was like, you guys went to a Wendy's restaurant? Was this like a
Wendy
chicken
Williams,
nugget eating contest?
I've done that too.
Yeah.
But being part of his show, that was phenomenal, and now that's opening other doors. We'll see where that goes. It's looking very promising.
Very nice, very nice. How has life changed now that you are the world's strongest man?
Oh,
boy. I saw that there's a sign on the side of the gym, home of the world's strongest man.
Yeah, that was very nice to come home to.
You get, free sandwiches at places and
the free sandwiches are happening.
That's the main
one of my one of my favorite restaurants, Fratelli Cafe in Hollywood, has a drawing of me on the wall, which makes me very homey there. So I end up going there a lot. But no, it's opening up a lot of doors, and it's all happening so fast. It's a little overwhelming, but all the more exciting as well. I accomplished a huge childhood dream and goal of mine. Which ultimately is just the next chapter of my life is opening up, and I get to decide what to do with it, and I'm going to go for multiple victories.
Nice. Where is 2020 World's Strongest Man?
We don't know.
No?
Yeah. We never know until the last moment.
And then how long in advance are you guys finding out events?
This year, it was about a month out. Other years, it's been 3 months out. I prefer a little bit more heads up. We never really exactly know when we get the events.
That's a remarkable thing to me, seeing the way that you guys compete on this circuit of competition, competing so much more frequently than a powerlifter would. Because when I started doing strongman, I'd been powerlifting for about 2 years at that time. And I did the little California Strongest Man, the one in, where it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, gosh, that was miserable.
That was some of the miserable. Worst, the worst weather I've ever had.
How'd you place in that Cali's again?
I was like fifth, I think.
I got sixth in that California Strongest Man.
See, I was stronger than him.
I was so pissed. Yeah.
And I only found out about that. I found out about that a week before it happened. And I was like, oh, this sounds cool. Like, let me sign up for this.
Wow, a week before. I've been training my butt off for like a year. And this guy comes in a week out.
And that one was, I don't feel like it was not a very hard contest. And they had to cut an event out, I think, because of the weather. But about a month after that, I went to Vegas and did a Sin City Strongman, a Nick Best show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so this was April in Vegas, and it was 90-some degrees out. And we're in this parking lot, and it was heavy. Like, first event. 975 yoke to 375 per hand farmers medley.
Yeah. Oof, and that's brutal.
Yeah, you know, tire flip to keg carry medley.
Of course, and, Nick Best would put this on.
Yeah, and it was. I remember finishing that day and feeling like, fuck, this was like I did three powerlifting meets in one day. Wow, it was so much harder, and because it had max deadlift in there and max axle, and but I'm seeing you guys, you know, at the top of you know, world level in strongman, and you're doing, you know, Giants Live and World Strongest Man and the Arnold and so these much. Huge contests back to back. Like, what, you know, recovery wise, to be able to take care of your body,
man, it is a mystery,
and survive. What are some things you're doing?
Some strongmen compete so much more. The most contests I've done in a year is 11. I've talked to Novikov, who's an up and coming strongman. He does like 30 a year.
Jesus Christ.
But I have found that the trick to making it really work is I pick 2 to 3 contests maximum to focus on and train for and peak for. All the other ones I just treat as training.
That's just an event day.
I don't go all out. I don't flip off the switch for reckless abandon. I don't, you know, I perform everything submaximally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if I don't get the lifts or I don't win, it's not that big of a deal. There's only 2 to 3 contests I allow myself to obsess over.
And those are Arnold, World Strongest Man.
And then whatever qualifies me for them.
Yeah. So the Arnold and World Strongest Man seem like they're pretty different in nature. That the Arnold is, I mean, confined to the stage, so yeah. It's so much shorter. And what's your best finish at the Arnold so far?
The Arnold this year was second place, right behind Hofthor. 4 points. I think he had 40-something points, and I was just 4 points behind him. So that was my best finish.
And is it a lot harder for you in the more static events than World Strongest Man gets into a little bit more speed?
It was originally. Lately, my static strength has been really catching up, and I'm excited to put it to good use at the Arnold. But in the past, yes, World Strongest Man was a better stage for me because I could use my endurance, my speed, my mobility to my advantage. But now that my body weight has been gone up, my static strength has caught up as well. I'm excited to put it, you know, to take the win in the Arnold.
Have you found with your deadlift particularly that as you gain body weight was, I mean, I definitely got to a point where I was like, I'm too fat to deadlift.
Man,
well,
you are on the nose there. Deadlifting is difficult with extra weight.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like before I could, now I feel like I just want to rip my belt off. And just do it raw, like it's so uncomfortable.
I don't need this extra.
No kidding, man. That's so true. My most comfortable deadlift weight and strength was around 320 pounds. It's since then stayed about the same. I've been able to do higher repetitions, but to break that 970 pound barrier has been difficult. But also because the last year and a half, I've had a lot more injuries than I've ever had before in my life. So that's truly the reason that's holding me back.
And that 970 dead, that's on a, what kind of bar are we talking here?
No, that was, the 970 I did at Worlds was actually on a stiff bar.
Okay, so like the Alico bar, regular plate setup.
Stiff. I was stiffer than that.
Yeah.
It was something else. I've done it on that bar, and I've also done it at the Elephant Bar in Worlds in Arnold. So I've done it on a very stiff bar and the opposite as well.
How different a feel is, because, I mean, I pulled on, you know, a stiff bar, like an IPF type of bar, than a deadlift bar, but never the Elephant Bar extra wide plates and stuff. Is that a really different feel?
It really is. The Elephant Bar whips. You cannot just rip it off the floor because that whip will pull you back down. Because if you pull really quickly and explosively, the weights on the sides will rocket up and then bounce back down. pulling you down right about your knees, mm-hmm. that weight will start wobbling really hard, making it difficult. So on the elephant bar, I find that a nice, slow, steady pull is the way to go. Versus on a stiff bar, just you could rip that thing.
So I'm going to say an event, and you just give me like one training tip, technique tip, you know, whatever it is.
All right, here we go.
Yoke.
Yoke. Feet close together. Never waddle. Don't waddle.
Farmer's walk.
Train your grip.
Those farmer's walk implements at Odes.
Those are the worst.
They are the worst, so hard.
But they teach you good technique, because the thing is, they're so wide. They're a bit like barrels.
Yeah.
So it's like they just knock into your legs.
Yeah, they're banging off your quads.
But I realized they forced me to keep my stance much more narrow on farmers, which is ideal, because when your feet are narrow, you're much more stable. Mm. When you start waddling or having your gait spread outwards, you start to waddle, and then your forces aren't being directed where you want them to go. So they're horrible farmers, but they've taught me how to do the farmer's run fast.
Those ones are tough. Circus dumbbell.
Windmills. Train a lot of windmills, heavy windmills, to get your core to be strong, to be able to lean and really load that weight above your center mass.
What's the heaviest you've done on a windmill?
The heaviest I've done on a windmill is about 220 pounds.
What's the heaviest dumbbell you did?
270.
How about log?
Log press. I like to perform paused reps. That is, when I squat down before I initiate leg drive, I'll pause. The reason for this is to rehearse a good habit of keeping your elbows up, keeping the log weight on your body, versus if you just rush that leg drive, a lot of people won't notice, but their elbows drop and that log, the center mass will shift forward, and then they'll
press it forward.
Yeah.
Are you doing push jerk, split jerk?
I used to do a lot of split jerks until my knee started hurting a bit. I have a very small tear in my meniscus on my left knee, which should heal on its own. I just had to pull back from doing a lot of volume on split jerks, and right now I just do push presses.
Now, when people split jerk the log or the axle, is there kind of a bad stigma that comes along with that? Like, you know, people in powerlifting will sort of look down on sumo deadlifters as cheaters. Is there the same thing, the split jerk and the strongman?
You know, it's funny. It's only from a few grumpy fans.
Yeah.
they really love seeing those strict press or push presses, and they get angry and think that split jerkers are weaker. But even Eddie Hall himself has commented and said, well, you guys try to pick up split jerking then, see if you could split jerk the same way that you even push press.
Yeah.
It's much harder than it looks.
That's got to be something that's come with the increased popularity of strongman. And, you know, the little bit that I see in, like, the Starting Strongman Facebook and stuff like that is strongman fans, more so even than powerlifting fans, seem very, very opinionated, very rabid support of their favorite athletes.
It's so true.
So even when you win World Strongest Man, how do the Eddie Hall fanboys respect your World Strongest Man title?
Oh, it's more so the Hofdorf fans.
Okay.
They were upset. They thought it was a fluke, which, who knows? We're gonna have a few more years to test it out.
So then back to the other. How about any kind of like a Husfeldstein, max distance carry?
Mm-hmm.
What's your big tip for that one?
That one. That one is a tough one. Ultimately, it's
grit
and willpower. It's very easy to take training for the Husfeld easy, but to get better at it, you really need to just get comfortable with being uncomfortable and pushing your body to the absolute limit and making sure every week you beat your previous score. And if you don't, you do extra sets, so at least the total volume is equal to a larger distance than you've gotten the previous time. So it's really just grit and willpower. Not much. There is technique to it, of course, but it just comes down to work ethic.
Don't drop it on your toe.
Don't drop it on your toe.
So you mentioned grit and willpower there. You talked about, you know, being able to approach events with a reckless abandon. So the mental side of strongman is huge for sure, because it just fucking hurts.
Yeah.
And it's a much more sustained hurting. Like, doing a really heavy squat single, that's not, you know, not the most relaxing, fun thing to do. But if you were having to do that for 60 seconds straight or 75 or 90 seconds,
right? Yeah.
The mental part of training, do you have stuff that you're doing to really work on the mental aspect?
Oh boy, I think everybody's got to find their own way to shift into that gear. For me, it really came down to when I was lifting earlier on, thinking about the pain of it all, thinking about the fear of hurting myself. I thought about my family. I thought, like, what if my little brother is here, just standing by my side, like, looking at me with those big little beady eyes, like, as if I'm his hero. Like, and I cannot possibly fail in front of my family. I cannot, you know, I got to really hold strong. So when I think about my family or something bigger than me, I'm willing to go into that reckless abandon. I'm willing to possibly face hurting myself to get the lifts. And you got to do strongman at this level, at least. There's a safe way and a calm and sane way to do this sport. That's just good for strength and fitness. I think strongman is incredible for just general strength and fitness, and it's actually very healthy for the body. But not, there's no way around it. When you're competing at this level, it's a risk. It's hard on the body.
Yeah, I mean that goes for any elite level sport, even for something like running, jogging. People, you know, associate that with health. Well, professional marathon runners, our bodies are just as fucked
that's
up.
That's such
as,
a good point.
You know, as powerlifters, and like no one's playing in the NFL. Oh, that no one goes and plays in the NFL.
These
like,
guys are really healthy. You
yeah,
know?
It's just a good workout.
It's a great way to stay in shape. Yeah. Oh man, it's so true.
Nice, man. Well, so 2020, we're gonna have Arnold, World's Strongest Man.
I still got to get my qualification for Arnold, Ohio, because Barcelona is going to be it for me. The next qualifier and the last qualifier to get me back into the Arnold stage is going to be in January 18th, the Santa Monica, the Arnold, yeah, just an Arnold show. Arnold will be the host.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be my last chance. So
they don't just invite you when you're a World's Strongest Man? I guess
you'd think,
there's
but,
not that reciprocity.
But the last few years, they've gotten a lot more strict with how they handle the Arnold shows. They really adhere to that point system. You either have to win the show or beat everybody that who has not qualified already, or just accumulate the most total amount of points from the
concert. It kind of helps them promote all the Arnolds across the world.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been to Arnold Australia on a few occasions and done a powerlifting meet there, and that was the first time I met Half Thor. I was talking to someone kind of on the side of the powerlifting, and I turned around and this Delt was right there.
You mean butt cheek. It's a freaking butt cheeks for Delt.
Yeah, and it was about as big as my head, which is really saying
it's
something.
Unreal, man.
And so you have Arnold Europe in Barcelona. You got the Arnold Australia in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold China, have you done that one? I saw you at the Arnold Australia 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've not done Arnold China. That hasn't happened for a couple of years, I think.
And then there's Arnold South Africa.
Yep, I have not done that one yet.
Arnold Brazil.
Brazil, yep. The only ones up there are Melbourne, Barcelona. Other than that, there's other qualifiers, like the Warwick Show. There's the Warwick Strongman Show, which is a great show. Great crowd, 6,000 people and bleachers all around us.
I'm glad that the other Arnolds pick, you know, the great cities of the world, Melbourne, Barcelona, Rio,
yeah.
And then you get to come to Columbus, Ohio.
What is that about? Right. Oh, man, I guess, you know, Arnold has a... The place has a spot in Arnold's heart.
I know, which is... I don't know what the... What is Arnold's special connection to Columbus? Because I associate him
goodness,
with, you know,
I forgot
Venice Beach.
I used to know this. I think he had an early start there.
Yeah.
Either before...
Was that where...
To Venice or... Like, I know Joe... Something to do with Joe Weider.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to botch the story.
Yeah, maybe where he won one of
but
his first big bodybuilding shows or something.
There's something there. I think Arnold used to live there.
Mm-hmm. And then he really upgraded when he
yeah.
moved to the beach.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where I live now. That's
yeah. You live in
Venice.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So how often are you coming?
Four times a week.
Oh, well, that's a good hike.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I drive on the Pacific Coast Highway, so it's at least a beautiful drive.
Yeah. You're also mass wrestling world champion and stuff?
Yes, multiple times. But for the last few years, I've really just put my focus on strongman. So I will go back to Moss Wrestling eventually, but right now I just want to hone in.
As do you know who Marcos Markopoulos is?
No.
He runs the Big Dogs powerlifting meet out there in Australia.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised he hasn't been trying to hit you up. I know Graham Hicks is doing it this year.
Holy shit. He's doing powerlifting. Graham Hicks. Those things all botched this bench press, really. Like, my bench press strength is almost it's just horrible.
Well, Martinez, it was great seeing you, buddy.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm excited to follow
along. Huge pleasure. This was very fun.
To reminisce over the couple of weeks where I was stronger
than you. Good old days. Shoot. You're one of the reasons I'm as strong as I am. I'm going to get you, Chad.
Thank you for that.
We never competed again.
Yeah, we probably only competed against each other. I guess California.
That was it.
California's Strongest Man. Yeah. And then.
That was it.
Yeah, because I think the year that I did LA Fit Expo, you were just judging. I don't think you competed.
I think you're right. Yeah. Damn. What a journey.
Yeah. Well,
I wish you luck in to destroy the jiu-jitsu world.
I'm glad I got out 1-0 ahead of you. So.
Damn it.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
I'm going to do jiu-jitsu next. I'm coming for you.
So that was our episode with 2019 World Strongest Man, Martin Leitzis. Make sure to go follow him on social media. Cheer for him in 2020 World Strongest Man and the Arnold. It was a lot of fun to record that episode with Martin. Visit jtsstrength.com for all of our online coaching services, apparel, books, all that good stuff. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We'll see you next time.